بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد we continue this, the discussion about التقوى and the fear of Allah عز وجل and true sincere faith and piety and belief in Allah and in the last day. And we have seen that the reality of at-taqwa, it is that a believer, by way of his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would take a path of righteousness with regards to his creed, and likewise with regards to his actions and his conduct and his manners. And this will be a means to be safe from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, the taqwa is wiqayah. Taqihi min adhabi Allahi Azza wa Jal. Wa min ghadabihi wa sakhafihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That true sincere faith and piety, it is a barrier and a means of protection and a shield that will protect him. They will protect a person from the anger of Allah, from his punishment and from his wrath. And the reality of that is by believing in Allah, believing in him sincerely and truthfully, and likewise believing in that which he has commanded and ordained for us to believe in, from the belief in the angels and in the books, and likewise in the messengers and the last days and the events that occur after death until the resurrection, and believing in the meeting of Allah and the judgment and the accountability, and that there will be a group of people in paradise and they are the successful, and there will be a group of people in the hellfire and they are the failures and the losers, waliyadu billah, and believing in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner and applying this properly and as legislated and required. This is the taqwa, and this is the shield, and this is the barrier, and this is the barrier. Al-imanu sadiq wal amalu salih. Al-imanu الصادق والعمل الصالح أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. These people, they are the ones who are truthful in their faith, and the ones who have fulfilled the proper creed and belief, and likewise complied to the Sharia and fulfilled the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and stayed away from and avoided His prohibition subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the ones who are truthful in their faith, and they are the ones who are pious and righteous. These are some of the affairs that have preceded. In our previous class, we have been reading, barakallahu fikum, that the people of knowledge, they mention that the people of piety, truthfully, and the people of taqwa, their piety and their fear of Allah will carry them to leave off everything that is impermissible. And after performing the obligations, likewise to leave off everything that is impermissible, and even it will continue with them until they leave off some of the things that are permissible. Until they will leave off some of the things that are even permissible. And they're allowed for him to do, but he will leave off some of them out of fear that it will lead him to the haram, out of fear that it will lead him to that which is impermissible, out of fear that it will lead him to do something that will earn the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, the people of piety, not only do they have a shield, but rather they have a shield before the shield, or a barrier before the barrier. And we've seen the example of that, like a person who, if there's a fence, on one side of the fence we have the muharramat and the impermissible affairs and that which has been prohibited from creed and deed, speech and action. On the other side, there are affairs that are permissible. There are affairs that are permissible. On this side over here, this is all haram and not allowed, forbidden. On this side over here, it's all allowed and permissible. They're mentioning here that the people have a taqwa before they even come near the fence. Before they even come near the fence. Before they even take a look at what's on the other side. There's an area of things, there's an area of affairs, of umur, that are allowed for them that they do not partake in. There are area of things here that is allowed for them that they stay away from, out of fear of even getting close to the haram. Out of fear of even getting close to the haram. So before they fall into the haram, they would have to perpetrate some things that are allowed for them already that they don't do. So this is from the increase in taqwa. And from the true sincere faith and piety and the belief in Allah in the last day, that they are afraid to bring deficiency to their deen, and they are afraid to expose their souls. They are afraid to expose their souls to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is their reality. And there are other examples like this that are similar in this affair. And this has preceded in some of the other classes with regards to the salawat and al-rawatib, salawat al-ratiba, and that they act like a barrier likewise for the obligatory prayer. And the believer who performs the non-obligatory prayers that are coupled and connected with the obligatory prayers, these are a means to protect his obligatory prayer. And before he felt deficient, or before he left off Fajr, for example, the one who performs two rak'ah sunnah before Fajr, every day, before he were to leave off the obligatory prayer of a Fajr, he would have to leave off those two rak'ah. So they're like a barrier and a boundary for him, guarding his obligatory prayer. And we have seen likewise that this is known as al-iman al-mustahab. Al-iman al-mustahab. This is the higher ranks. This is the higher ranks of belief and faith. Yani iman al-mustahab in this manner, performing the actions that are obligatory now, establishing that, and then after that competing and doing even more. And this is a means to perfect the faith and also to protect the faith and to keep it strong and to keep it good. And this is what Al-Hasan al-Basri has mentioned, and likewise before that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and there was a very beneficial statement by one of the Tabi'een. His name is Talq ibn Habib. Who remembers that statement in his definition of al-taqwa in English or Arabic or both? They ask him, what is al-taqwa? What was his answer? If somebody asks you, right, what is the taqwa? Huh? What is the taqwa? The fear of Allah. What does that mean, though? Huh? You do what's obligatory? And? And so we're getting there. But he summarized everything in just a few statements. Remember, we were going to memorize this statement. Huh? Now. أحسنت هذا هو أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله. That you work in the obedience of Allah. That's as you mentioned. But how do we work in the obedience of Allah? Because all of the Muslims, they're working in the obedience of Allah, but they're not performing those acts of obedience the same. And we have seen likewise that the people of piety and the people of taqwa and the people of iman, the people of Islam, they're not one level and they're not one rank. So in order to reach this level here, which is an obligation, by the way, it's an obligation to have this type of faith. And the one who does not have this type of faith, then his faith is not complete. From the steps to do that, to work in the obedience of Allah, upon a light from Allah. Upon a light from Allah. What did that mean? To work in the obedience, what's the opposite of light? Darkness. And ignorance. To work in the obedience of Allah upon ignorance. Is this taqwa? To worship Allah however one wants to worship Allah, because he's seeing some people in his country or his masjid or like this, he has no clue. Is it the sunnah or not the sunnah? Naam, is that from taqwa? Is it from true fear of Allah that one would approach the salah and not know how to pray? Or that one would embark on a journey to travel over the seas and then land in Mecca and then go to the house of Allah and not know how to make hajj? Is that from piety and righteousness? Does that person truly fear Allah? Nah, there's weakness there. Naam, the one who was wanting to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla upon ignorance, and he didn't show concern for the worship in the first place to even learn. The worship can't be established, however, it has to be established upon a light from Allah. The worship has to be established upon a light from Allah, meaning sincere faith. Sincere faith based upon knowledge. So therefore, a person, he will work in the obedience of Allah, but he will do that with light. He will do that with knowledge. If he's going to pray, he knows how to pray. When he makes wudu, he knows how to make wudu. And he remembers Allah, and he does that out of sincere faith. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Verily Allah, he loves those who repent and purify their souls. And he loves those who purify their bodies likewise and purify their souls from the hadith, al-akbar wa al-asghar. Yani Allah, He loves them, so He remembers them. He's making wudu for this reason, because Allah loves that, and He hopes for the love of Allah. He hopes for the love of Allah. So therefore, he's doing the actions of obedience, but he's doing them upon knowledge, and he's doing them upon sincere faith. Sincere faith and belief in Allah, and the love for Allah, and hoping for the love of Allah. The love for Allah, and hoping for the love of Allah. Having love for Allah, and hoping for the love of Allah. Which one is greater? That you love Allah, or that Allah loves you? That Allah loves you. If Allah loves you, then He will allow you to love Him. It's the command of Allah in His hands. The Salaf, they used to say, لَيْسَ شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ إِنَّمَا شَأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ. That the affair is not about whether you love or not, but rather it's about are you loved. Because all of the believers, no doubt, they love Allah. They love Allah. And this is the foundation of Iman. But how much does Allah love the believer? Because this is different. According to Iman, according to faith, according to taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْقَوِّي خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْضَعِيفِ. That the strong believer, he is better and more beloved to Allah than the believer that is weak. وَفِيكُلٍ خَيْرٌ. But all of them, they have goodness with them. They have the foundation of love, and Allah loves them. That's why He guided them to His deen, and guided them to His tawheed, and guided them to testify to the authenticity of the Quran and the correctness of the messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we have to understand that these people fluctuate. So a believer, he has to strive to worship Allah and fulfill those actions of obedience, to have taqwa. But he does that upon light. He does that upon light from Allah, meaning he has knowledge. He believes and he knows what he believes in. He believes in Allah and he knows what that means and what it requires. He believes in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he testifies that he's the Messenger of Allah. He knows what that means and what that requires. He believes in the angels. He knows in general what that means. Likewise, it requires what that means and likewise what that requires to believe in angels. Angels riding, angels coming to give soul and by the permission of Allah, and angels coming to take the souls by the permission of Allah. So on and so, angels protecting. And he believing in this, the one who believes in this and that belief is strong, he's not going to act certain ways. And he's going to act other ways. He's going to be different. He's going to be different from the majority of the people. Because of that belief, he's going to be strange. He's going to be strange. The one who believes this, he's going to be strange. He's going to stop when people don't stop. And he's going to be quiet when people are not being quiet. And this is from the aspects and the attributes of a taqwa. So therefore, to work in the obedience of Allah, upon a light from Allah. But also, again, not doing it heedlessly. And these are very important points. After this, he said he didn't stop there. And تَعْمَلَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ تَرْجُو ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ. So he's working in the obedience of Allah, meaning outwardly. Outwardly, he's performing the actions of obedience. He's performing the actions of obedience that Allah, He has commanded and made obligatory, or He has recommended. Or that Allah or that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that it's an obligation, or that he has recommended. He's working in the obedience of Allah azza wa jal. And he's doing that with knowledge, meaning he's performing the actions outwardly properly in the proper manner. He's performing the outward in the proper manner. But if he was performing them outwardly, for example, he's praying. And he's praying properly, and his ruku' is proper, and his recitation is good, and his sujood is good. But inside his heart, the whole time in the prayer, he's thinking about the affairs of the dunya. The whole time in his prayer, and he's moving properly. If you see him from the outside, you say, Allahu Akbar, what a good salat this man has. What a good prayer this man has. But inside of his heart, he's thinking about the dunya. He's thinking about the job, or the money, or getting married, or what he's going to say to so-and-so. The whole time, he's in ruku', bowing before Allah, but his heart is thinking about so-and-so and such-and-such. He's in sujood even sometimes, and his heart, is this from taqwa? Is this from taqwa? No, that's not from taqwa. There's a deficiency in the taqwa. Alhamdulillah, he's moved. The fear of Allah has moved him to believe in Allah and moved him to move in the obedience of Allah, but it's not reached the level into his heart where it's sunk in until where he's hoping for the reward from Allah. So therefore, another condition for the taqwa to be good and for the deen to be upright. The religion of Islam inside the heart of one of us, for our religion, for our faith to be good, we have to do these actions hoping for the reward from Allah. Like right now, from the greatest actions is to gather in a house from the houses of Allah and to study the book of Allah and to review the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to learn the ahkam and the likes like this. This is from the greatest actions of worship. So therefore it's incumbent upon us to do that with light, upon faith and sincere belief in Allah, that Allah, He loves this action, and that He loves those people who gather in the gatherings of knowledge, and He loves those people who seek knowledge of His religion. And we remember that, and that's why we came, and that's why we sit. And there are many other things that we could be doing, many of the things outside those doors that the believers could be doing, but because of faith, because of belief, they left that behind them. And they sit in the masjid between Maghrib and Isha, hoping for the reward of learning and seeking knowledge, and likewise the reward of the angels supplicating for them, and so on and so forth. All of these affairs from the belief in the unseen, the foundation of a taqwa. So therefore, it's upon us to remember that and to hope for that reward. And he just as an example, that we do this any sincerity for the sake of Allah. From the means to have sincerity is to have strong hope in the reward of Allah. That's from the completion of the taqwa. And this is the reality of the worship. Hoping for the promise of Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, hoping for the mercy of Allah. And ta'amala bi ta'ati Allah. When ta'amala bi ta'ati Allah, ala nurin min Allah. Tarju thawab Allah. That's the first point. To work in the obedience of Allah with knowledge and with light, with sincere faith. And also all the while that you're doing that, hoping for the reward. Not being heedless, not being forgetful. It's been mentioned that from the first the first things to go away from the deen, the khushur, the first thing that will go away. The people, they'll continue establishing the prayer. But as for the khushur and the humiliation, the humbleness in the hearts, this is going to go away. This is going to be stripped from the people. And this is the foundation of the salat. And this is the purpose of the salat. وَاقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And likewise, the rest of the actions of worship, to remember Allah and to hope for His promise, and to hope for His reward. This is the first point. And then he mentioned after that, وَأَن تَتْرُكَ مَعْسِيَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَخَافُ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ. That you leave off the actions of disobedience. And along with performing the actions of obedience, and from taqwa likewise, is to also leave off the actions of disobedience. So the deen requires for us to do things, certain things, and to also leave off and avoid certain things. Both of these affairs are from the deen. Performing actions is from the deen. It's from al-Islam. And leaving off other types of actions likewise, this is also Islam. And a person in Islam is not good until he leaves off certain things. نَعْ مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. From the good Islam of a person is that he leaves off that which does not concern him. No doubt, everything that is haram, it does not concern us. Everything that is impermissible, it does not concern us. This is the first understanding and included in leaving off that which does not concern you, is to leave off that which is haram and made forbidden, that we must stay away from. Zina does not concern us. And nothing that leads to zina likewise. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. And don't come close to fornication. None of these things concern us. Having friends on Facebook that are women or men, and sharing like this and mixing on Facebook, هَذَا لَا يَعْنِيكَ. This does not concern you. And this is not allowed for you. And this is not permissible. Because Allah, He says, don't come near zina. And this is the first step to coming near zina. How do you get near zina? By having friends. And by having friends, by speaking. And before that, by looking. And then by speaking. And then by touching. And then after that, it's over. And that's a trap. And it's a web. And a web is something that if somebody gets stuck into it, it's hard to get out. He'll get out one part, and when he thinks he's free, he's trapped in another part. And sometimes the more a person tries to get out of a web, the more he will become tangled. And this is from the snares of shaitan and from the traps of shaitan. So this is something that a believer has to be aware of. Leaving off that which is impermissible. This is just an example. Likewise, alcohol or getting money and means that are not permissible. All of these affairs, these things do not concern us. And first and foremost. So these affairs, these things, they must be left off for the taqwa to be strong. And for the taqwa to be complete and to fulfill one's obligation. But how would he leave off those actions of disobedience? He doesn't leave them off likewise upon ignorance. Rather, he leaves them upon light, upon knowledge. And he also doesn't leave them off any hoping for praise from the people, but out of fear of the blame of the people, but he leaves them out of sincere faith and belief in Allah, that these things will earn him the anger of Allah, or cause him cause the punishment of Allah to befall him. So therefore he leaves them off in this manner, upon a light from Allah, ala nurin min Allah. And all the while yakhafu aw takhafu iqab Allah, and you fear the punishment of Allah. You fear the punishment of Allah. So this is true taqwa, and this is true ibadah. And ibadah and worship, or al-Islam, the deen, remember these terms, they all have their specific meaning. But when they're used generally, they all are included in each other. And Islam is taqwa, and ibadah is taqwa, and tawheed, and the likes like this, and iman, and istiqama upon that, is to be steadfast upon taqwa. So therefore, a person, his deen has to be completed in this manner. Has to be completed in this manner. And it has these pillars. And that is that he performs them with love of Allah. That's the foundation of his faith. Love of Allah for all of the blessings that Allah has given him. And it is Allah who has brought us into existence and created us from nothing. He has brought us into existence and created us from nothing. We didn't do anything to deserve to be created. We didn't do anything to deserve to be created. He created us. فَضَّلَ مِنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Informed us and shaped us and provided for us. Therefore we love him. He's our creator. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. He is our Rabb. And he's good to us. And he's kind to us. And he's given us so many good things, day in and day out. Naam, his blessings that continue to descend upon his servants, those who are righteous and those who are wicked, his blessings continue to descend. So a believer, he loves him for that. And he shows his love by hoping for his reward and complying to his commandments upon light, upon knowledge, and by staying away from his prohibitions and fearing his punishment, also with sincere faith and with knowledge. This one is called at-taqwa. This one is called at-taqwa. The one who has this, he is promised to enter paradise. He's promised to enter paradise. The one who dies like this, he's promised to enter paradise. And he's promised that he will not be punished. And he's promised that he will not be punished. What about the one who has the foundation of taqwa, but he takes interest? What happens to his taqwa? It goes all the way away. Huh? It goes all the way away. No taqwa at all. He becomes a disbeliever. Huh? No, that's not right. That's not right. What happens? It goes down accordingly. It goes down accordingly. So the taqwa is a shield. So the shield goes down or weakens accordingly. A shield from the anger of Allah and from the punishment of Allah. And likewise, so he becomes exposed. So the one who partakes in the haram, like interest, for example, then that taqwa, it falls down accordingly. It falls down accordingly. Whenever the taqwa falls down, the reality of the taqwa was what? It's a barrier, it's a shield. وَلِبَاسُ taqwa ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the adornment, or the clothing, the garment of piety, this is better. And this is a means to adorn oneself, to beautify himself with taqwa, with the deen, and to protect himself likewise. To protect himself likewise. So whenever the taqwa becomes deficient, what happens? He's exposed to the anger of Allah, and to the blame of the people likewise, and for the people to blame him and find fault with him. But more than that, he's exposed to the anger of Allah and the punishment. Can he fix that? The taqwa, if it comes down, can he fix it? How does he fix it? Huh? He repents to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This topic here is coming in the next portion of the hadith. وَأَتْبِعْ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْهُوَا. Then follow up the bad deed with a good deed. It will erase it, it will wipe it out. This part, inshallah, is going to come. So this is what we're discussing, and this is the affair. And this is why we're created. And this is what Allah, he mentioned in the first commandment in his book. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum. Limadha? La'allakum tattaqun. La'allakum tattaqun. O mankind, the first thing Allah commanded in his book. He didn't command prayer. He didn't command anything else. Yani the first thing he commanded is this affair here. Yani to establish his worship so that you can have taqwa. To establish his worship so that you can have taqwa. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and created those before you so that you can be from the people of taqwa. So you can have taqwa and you can be from the people of taqwa. To worship Allah in this manner will bring a person to this level. He will be from the people of taqwa. If he's from the people of taqwa, do not ask about the good that he will have. Do not ask about the good that he will have in this life and the contentment that he will have in his heart and the ease that he will have in his life. Even whenever he's facing difficulty, he will find sweetness in his heart, and he will be easy for him to deal with, whether he loses a loved one or he is sick himself, or the likes like this, or he's tried in his wealth, or the likes, even in times of difficulty. The one who has taqwa, don't ask about his state. His state is good, and he has a good life, and he's promised a good life. He's promised a good life. Naam, Allah will give him a good life because of his taqwa, like this. And then in the good times likewise, the good that he has, and he uses it in a good way, and it's always good for him. This is for the people of a taqwa. So this is something that we're created for, and this is something that we have to strive for, and this is a good way. And from the means of doing that is to study and to learn. We stopped on the statement of Abi ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and he is giving the interpretation of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. Ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. And fear Allah as he ought to be feared. And fear Allah as he ought to be feared. And he fear Allah as he has the right to be feared. So they asked him about this. What does that mean? What does it mean to fear Allah in the manner he has, and as he should be feared, as he has the right to be feared? I mean, this is a very good question. And this is from the way of the companions, and likewise those after them from the tabi'een. They would hear the likes of these verses and they would want to understand them. What does that mean? Especially whenever this is from those verses that one would hear every Jumu'ah. And the imam, whenever, or the khatib, whenever he gives the khutbah, he'll recite these verses following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from those verses. يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. نعم وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So Allah, he commanded the believers after calling them by faith, and you fear Allah. Fear Allah as he ought to be feared. Fear Allah as he deserves to be feared. What does that mean? What does that mean? Ibn Mas'ud, he says, أَنْ يُطَاعَ فَلَا يُعْصَى وَيُذْكَرْ فَلَا يُنْسَى وَيُشْكَرْ فَلَا يُكْفَرْ. He said, this is what it means. That Allah, he should be obeyed and he should not be disobeyed. He should be obeyed and he should not be disobeyed. And he should be remembered and he should not be forgotten. He should be remembered and he should not be forgotten. And he should be showed thanks. And he should not be shown any disappreciation. Ungratefulness. Jazakallah khairan. Any ungratefulness. He should not be shown any ungratefulness. So one should obey him. And yuta'a fala yu'sa. The one who obeys him and does not disobey him, this is the one he is fearing Allah as he ought to be feared. The one who remembers Allah and he doesn't forget him, not even one in tijara. La yulhihim tijaratun. Wala dhikrun. Wala tulhihim tijaratun. Wala bayun and dhikrillah. No tijara. And no commerce or trade or selling. It distracts them from the remembrance of Allah. Meaning that they do commerce. They do commerce. A believer, he gets money. Alhamdulillah. But that does not distract him from the remembrance of Allah. And the one who remembers Allah, then he will not disobey him. And the one who remembers Allah truly, then he will not disobey him. And the one who remembers Allah likewise, what will he do? He will be thankful. He will be thankful. So this is the issue here. Three things. To do what? To remember Allah. And to obey Allah. And to be thankful. To be thankful. And the opposite of that, you need to stay away from that. What is that? To forget Allah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. نَسُوا اللَّهَ. Even if they didn't really forget Allah, it's as if they forgot Allah. By forgetting the commandments of Allah. To forget Allah means to forget His commandments. Huh? Neglect His commandments. Maybe some people, they know about His commandments, but it's not, they didn't really forget them. It's as if they forgot them. It's as if they forgot them in their manners and their conduct. And because we have lisan al-muqal, what he said, and hal. There's a person what he says with his tongue and a person what he says with his body language and his actions and statements. Which one speaks louder? Then what do they say? Actions speak louder than words. We know that here in America, right? Actions, you heard that before? Actions speak louder than words, no doubt. So then a person, he has to be about it. If he talks about it, he has to be about it. So therefore, he has to remember Allah Azza wa Jal and show thanks and obey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remember Allah and not to forget Him. To remember Allah and not to forget Him. If he's getting money, he remembers Allah. He remembers Allah. If he goes in the market, there's a supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he has legislated for us to follow, so that we remember Allah going in the market. And likewise, whenever a person is paying back a debt and he's doing his transactions and the likes like this, he will remember Allah azza wa jal. Even at the time of having relationships, a believer, he remembers Allah. Even whenever he's having intercourse with his wife, they remember Allah at that time. There's no time, and he's seeking pleasure, but at the same time he's remembering Allah. So a believer, he can seek pleasure in this life, in that which is limited, and remember Allah at the same time. And this is the way of the people of at-taqwa, those who fear Him as He ought to be feared. Those who fear Him as He ought to be feared. They remember Him and they do not forget Him. They remember Him and they do not forget Him. So after that, they obey Him and they do not disobey Him. They obey Him and they do not disobey Him. Some of the Salaf, they used to say, if you want to disobey Allah, then do it without His blessings. And do it in another way without using His blessings. Disobey Him, but don't use His blessings. Don't use His blessings to disobey Him. Very hard or impossible. If somebody wants to disobey Allah, for example, with the eyes, look at something haram. Are the eyes a blessing? Great blessing. What about the ears? He wants to listen to something. He's going to have to use his ears. Are the ears a blessing? A great blessing. A great blessing. Even then, he's going to feel in his heart, in his mind, he's going to feel pleasure. Even if it's short-lasted. What is that? Is that a blessing? To have intelligence, to have a mind, to be able to feel and think and recollect and remember and recall and experience these things. Allah, He created all of these things for us. They're blessings from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we can't do anything except with His blessings. Everything that we do, whether it's good or bad in this life, this is all from His blessings that He has entrusted us to and that we'll be asked about. وَلَتُسَلُونَ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On that day, the day of resurrection, then He's going to ask everybody. He's going to ask you, or you're going to be asked about the blessings, about the delights, about the good things. Naam? So therefore, this is a beautiful statement to remember. And now that we hear this, we should remember this every time that we hear this verse. Especially like, for example, on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. If the Khatib, he comes and he makes the Khutbat al-Hajjah, when he comes here, this is what you reflect upon. From the best ways to ponder over the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal is to know the tafsir and to know the statements of the Sahaba, or before that, you need the hadith of the Messenger with regards to sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the particular verses, or the statements of the Sahaba with these verses, or the understanding of these verses from the Mufassirin and the likes like that. To have some background, knowledge with regards to the verses that are recited. This is a means or a key for a person to open up his mind into pondering over the verses. So from that, whenever we hear the Khatib, he says that اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, and do not die except as Muslims. And the one who remembers Allah and doesn't forget Him, and the one who obeys Allah and does not disobey Him, and the one who is thankful and he's not ungrateful, then how is he dying? If he continues like that, then what does he do? He's dying as a Muslim. And a real Muslim, a good Muslim. Naam, a good Muslim. May Allah make us and our families good Muslims. This is something that the Muslims need to realize. Allahu al-musta'an. We have to realize that we want to be a good Muslim. We want to be a good Muslim. We don't want to be gutha, ka gutha as-sayl. We don't want to be the scum and the rubbish. Naam? The scum and the rubbish. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made dua. In his dua, in Surah Mumtahana. Surah Al-Mumtahana, he said, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَافَرُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَافَرُوا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Now, this noble verse, it means Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's making dua. Dua is what? A request. He's calling on Allah. He's asking for something. He's calling on Allah. He's hoping for something. He wants something from Allah. And this particular supplication, what does he want? لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً. Do not make us. Do not make us. Who is us? Had Ibrahim. The family of Ibrahim and the believers. The Ahlul Tawheed. The Muslims. Do not make us a fitna for the disbelievers. Do not make us a fitna for the disbelievers. And forgive us, our Lord. Verily, You are the Almighty and the All-Wise. How could a believer be a fitna for the disbelievers? The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this dua, what it means, do not make us a fitna. Do not make us a trial for the disbelievers. And because of our sins. Because of our sins, do not make us a trial. Because if our sins overcome us, then Allah, He will inflict us with humiliation. And He will set our enemies in charge over us. And He will give the disbelievers authority over us until they believe that we're upon falsehood and they're upon the haqq. And they'll say, if the Muslims were upon the truth, then we wouldn't have authority over them like this. If they're upon the truth, then how come they're under our feet and under our humiliated by us and under our command and they're nothing? So then at this time, the believers, there'll be a fitna for them and a trial for them. And the disbelievers, they'll believe that they're upon the truth because they have authority in the land. Because they don't understand Tawheed, yani, but they think that they have they're upon the truth, and the deen of the Muslims is falsehood. Because if they are upon truth, then they would be on top. But the reality is that the Muslims are on bottom because of their sins. They're in this situation of humiliation because of their sins. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَافِرُوا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا and forgive us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ You are the Almighty and the All-Wise. So therefore, yani, this is something to ponder about. Likewise, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was worried about this. Obviously, he's afraid of this, and he's making dua. Don't do this. Oh, Allah, don't do this. Don't make us a fitna. And many people, they're like that now, and they see, if the Muslims were upon upon the truth, and how come they're like this? And even worse, some of them, they say, well, you call them to Islam, what's the difference between us? He's a Muslim, he has a girlfriend, and he's a Christian, they got girlfriends, it's all good. He's a Muslim, they got a liquor store, what's the difference? What's the difference? Some of the disbelievers, they'll see it like this. Now it's a fitna, and they're tried by the sins of the believers. They're tried by the sins of the believers, and they're not even able to see the truth because of these issues. So this is something that a believer has to remember. Going back to the statement, we want to be a good Muslim. To be a good Muslim. How would the humiliation go away? How would the humiliation go away?
Repenting and stop sin.
By returning back to Allah Azza wa Jal. By returning back to taqwa, by believing in Allah and worshiping Him with knowledge, and worshiping Him with sincere hope, and by believing in Allah and leaving off the sins upon knowledge, and fearing His punishment, returning to that which the companions were upon. In this manner, the humiliation will be removed, and not until then, and not until then. So therefore, there are two type of people amongst us, and the ranks of the Muslims in the world. There are people who are a cause for humiliation, and there are people who are trying to remove the humiliation. So there are those who are causing humiliation, and there are a reason for humiliation of the ummah, And there are those people who are trying to remove, or to be a means to remove the humiliation. So the people who are engulfing in sins and blatantly disobeying Allah and having no concern for the deen of Allah or the commandments of Allah or the prohibitions of Allah, to the extent that they don't even care to learn, And they have no idea about their religion, and they're blind following and moving through this life, and they're overcome with the love of the dunya, and they have passed the commandments of Allah behind their backs. These people are the reason for humiliation and the cause for humiliation of the ummah. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned about this, that Allah will descend a dhul. يُسَلِّتُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًا لَا يَنْزِعُهُ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ لَدِينِكُمْ And even whenever the people, they prefer the dunya over the hereafter, whenever they leave off taqwa, whenever they leave off the obligatory taqwa and it's overcome the people, then they're the reason for the humiliation. Innovations, then the reason for the humiliation. Is innovation from taqwa? Abidan. So to either be a means for removing the humiliation or be a means to increase the humiliation. What do you want to be? You want to be a means to remove the humiliation. So therefore, that means you have to want to be a good Muslim. And that means that you have to strive to have taqwa. And that requires first and foremost to learn. And to give up time from your life to learn. And then whatever you learn, you strive against your soul to apply it. And then you call your wife to that. And likewise, or if you're a woman and you have a husband, and you're the one that was blessed to have concern, then you do that yourself, likewise, sister. And then you call your husband. And you do that upon goodness. And you together, the man he calls the wife, and the wife he calls the husband, and they work together in a good manner with gentleness and with good preaching and with correct knowledge and on a correct path with light from Allah. And they work together and rectify their family and their children, and those who are near to them, those who listen to them and trust them, and they talk to them in this manner, and in this manner the people will become rectified. And this is a long path. And this is the long path. And the people who have no patience, they will not make it. That's why from the completion of the taqwa, والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس. You need to be patient. To be patient. So we go back to the statement of Ibn Mas'ud that one should obey Allah and not disobey Him, and to remember Allah and not forget Him, and to thank Him and to not be ungrateful, and to not be ungrateful. Here we have a beautiful comment from Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, and this is very important to understand what he mentioned about shukr. He says, and he commenting on the and yushkar fala yukfar, that he should be thanked or shown appreciation, and he should not be shown any ungratefulness or ingratitude. He said, rahimahullah, wa shukruhu yadkhulu fihi jami'u fi'l ta'at. Jami'u fi'l ta'at. That showing thanks to Allah, what is included in this? The performance of all of the actions of obedience. The performance of all of the actions of obedience. So therefore, the reality of showing thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal is to perform the actions of obedience. And yeah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who has blessed us with eyesight. So therefore, to use the eyesight in that which He has allowed, this is showing thanks to Him. This is showing thanks to Him. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has blessed us with the mind and with the ears and the likes. And to use those in the affairs that He has allowed and legislated and permitted, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is showing thanks to Him. This is showing thanks to Him. To not look at that which is impermissible, this is showing thanks to Him. To avoid listening to that which is haram, this is showing thanks to Him. To be ungrateful is to use the eyes and the disobedience of Allah. To be ungrateful is to use the ears and the disobedience of Allah. To be ungrateful is to have knowledge of the sunnah and to abandon it and turn one's back on it. This is not being grateful and showing thanks for that knowledge. So this is the case here. Included in showing thanks, the reality of showing thanks, first and foremost, is in the heart. A believer, he confesses that these blessings are from Allah. And then after that, he says Alhamdulillah, and he praises and he thanks Allah with his tongue. But likewise, he moves in accordance, showing thanks, showing thanks. وَعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَوُودَ شُكْرًا. Now, to work in obedience, this is true thanks. Showing true thanks, truly being thankful. Truly being thankful. Some people, they can't see. Some people, they can't see. They can't read the Mus'haf. They can't read the Mus'haf. Other people, they can't hear. They can't hear the recitation of the Fatiha. We can see and we can hear Alhamdulillah. Other people, they can't walk. Their brothers right now in the hospital. May Allah cure the sick believers, the sick Muslims. Their brothers who can't join us now, they would like to. And they can't. They don't have health. They don't have health. So a believer who's healthy, he will not use his health in the disobedience of Allah, running here and running there, and plotting and planning how he's going to get the next dollar, whether it's halal or haram, or how he's going to fulfill his desires, and the likes like this, how he can get the next up. Yeah, he's going to do the things that are permissible and good. In this manner, he shows thanks. In this manner, he shows thanks. And to remember these things. To remember these things. So this is what it means to show thanks. What does it mean to show thanks? To obey Allah, to use the blessings, to use the blessings and the obedience of Allah. Money is a blessing. Sah? Money is a blessing. Security is a blessing. The masjid being open is a blessing. We use these blessings in the obedience of Allah. We remember that these are favors from Allah, and we're happy to have them, and we're thankful to have them. Alhamdulillah, to sit here again. Alhamdulillah, it's a favor from Allah, a blessing from Allah. And that's from Him and not from us. And not from anybody else. It's from Allah. So therefore we confess that and we know that. And then we take advantage of these blessings and the pleasure and the avenues of goodness. And the pleasure of Allah and the avenues of goodness. He says, وَمَعْنَ ذِكْرِهِ فَلَا يُنْسَى. And the meaning, what it means to remember Him and to not forget Him. ذِكْرُ الْعَبْدِ بِقَلْبِهِ لِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ فِي حَرَكَاتِهِ وَسَكَنَاتِهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ فَيَمْتَثِرُهَا وَلِنَوَاهِيهِ فِي ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ فَيَجْتَنِبُهَا. So he says the meaning, what does it mean to remember Allah and not to forget Him? He says the fact that the abd, the slave, a person, he remembers Allah This means to remember and to not forget him, to remember Allah with his heart. Huh? But he says here, to remember with his heart the commandments of Allah. To not forget Allah, again, this is very important. To remember Allah, what does it mean? Ibn Rajab, he says, ذِكْرُ عَلْأَبْدِ بِقَلْبِهِ لِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ. That the slave, a person, an individual, he remembers with his heart the commandments of Allah. The commandments of Allah. When? في حركاته, when he's moving and going about, with سكناته, whenever he's relaxing, and whenever he's not moving around, and whether he's out and about, or whether he's being still, he's remembering the commandments of Allah. نعم وكلماته, and likewise with his speech, his statements, and then he complies to them. He remembers the commandments of Allah and he complies to them. And likewise, he remembers with his heart the prohibitions of Allah. The prohibitions of Allah, and then he avoids them, all of them. This is what he's saying. This is what it means to remember Allah. Some people, when they're misguided away, they think remembering Allah is just to subhanAllah, subhanAllah. This is a type of remembrance. But the true remembrance, if that tasbih like that, was beneficial, so to saying Allahu Akbar over and over and subhanAllah over and over, if that was beneficial, to make adhkar, masa, wassabah, and to make adhkar after the salawat, and if that was beneficial, then what is the fruit from that? That he remembers the commandments of Allah and applies them. That he remembers the prohibitions of Allah and he applies them. Whenever he's going about through his day, he's moving around through the world, dealing with the people, all of his contacts and all of his contracts and all of his dealings, he remembers Allah, meaning the commandments of Allah, with his heart. His heart remembers the commandments of Allah. From showing magnificence, from magnifying Allah, and truly loving Allah is to love his commandments. And truly loving Allah Azza wa Jalla and magnifying him and praising him is to remember his prohibitions and to be afraid of that. And to know these things and to honor them and to respect them, this is taqwa. This is taqwa. This is what it means to fear Allah as he ought to be feared. This is what it means to fear Allah as he ought to be feared. Yani, so the one who does that, he will be strange. You have to remember this. So don't be afraid to be a stranger. If you are a youth and you're young, and Allah bless you to see these affairs, and he guides you and your heart to understand the reality of taqwa and what is required from you, and you have a desire to do that, know that you're going to be different. The other youth are not going to be like you. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِ الشُّكُورِ. And very few of my servants are thankful. So we see in our community, alhamdulillah, there are youth. There are youth that Allah has blessed them with this. But you have to remember that this is a favor from Allah. So don't think because you don't fit in like the rest of the people. All of the other young boys, they're playing soccer with their thighs showing. They have no shame. Playing soccer, you can play soccer. But not with your thighs showing. This is something that even they do it just going to the store, wearing short shorts. Is this from taqwa? He's got his shorts above his knees. Is this from taqwa? That's not from taqwa. A sign that Allah is angry with somebody is what? He exposed himself. Whenever Allah was angry with Adam and Hawa, what happened? They were exposed. Their privates were exposed. So the ones who are exposing their privates, this is not a good sign for that person. They are exposing themselves. And even worse than that is they like that and they think it's good and they call people to look at their exposure. So the youth, yani, if you have seen some of these affairs and you have tasted faith, alhamdulillah, then hold on to that. And do it for the sake of Allah. And ask Allah to make you firm. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Make this dua a lot. So don't be afraid to be different. Right? Don't be afraid to be different. The youth. And likewise the elders likewise. If you're at work, don't be afraid. You're going to be different, akhi. You're not like the people at work. And in these lands, we're not like them. That doesn't mean we oppress them, or we lie to them, or cheat them. That's not taqwa either, but we're not like them. They keep going all day long talking about this and that. We don't talk about this and that. We talk about what is allowed for us. And we joke and we laugh in that which is permissible. And when it's time for prayer, we stop what we're doing and we go pray. They keep on going. They eat what they like. They do it. They take a cigarette break. He take a cigarette break. I take a prayer break. Like this. He's different from them. So this is something that a believer has to get through his mind and his heart and know. I'm different. Tuba, little ghuraba. The Prophet ﷺ is glad tidings for the strangers. So you're going to be strange. You're going to be strange. You're going to be different from the youth, different a sister who covers herself properly, according to the legislation, with knowledge, with the light from Allah. She's not going to be like the rest of the sisters who cover themselves however they like, or however they do in their community, or whatever they do in this culture and the likes like this. Because there's a way to cover yourself according to the light from Allah and the revelation of Allah. And there's a way to do it yani, other than that, many ways. So the one who does it that way, he's few. He's few. And yani, just a reminder for the youth specifically. And for all of us. Yani, to the one who starts to follow this path, truly, he will become a stranger. But he should not feel strange. And he should not feel bad. And he should not feel bad or feel lonely. Because he is on the path of الصديقين النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين نعم وحسن أولئك رفيقا. And this is the best of companionship, to be upon the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions and then those after them from the righteous. So the one who truly finds out about taqwa and learns it and tries to apply it and correct his deen and his relationship with Allah azza wa jalla, he's going to be different from the people. So, but this is something that is good. The author, he says, وَقَدْ يَغْلِبُ إِسْتِعْمَالُ التَّقْوَى عَلَى اجْتِنَابِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ كَمَا قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَسُعِلَ عَنِ التَّقْوَى. He's mentioning now, in this work here, he starts mentioning a few points with regards to taqwa, different points. And the first one he mentions now is that taqwa, it could be used most of the time. We see the meaning of taqwa, the foundation of taqwa, to establish the commandments and to leave off the prohibitions. But based upon the linguistic understanding of a taqwa, it has a meaning that is more direct with regards to leaving something, to staying away from something, avoiding something. So this is what he's mentioning here. وَقَدْ يَغْلِبُ إِسْتِعْمَالُ التَّقْوَى عَلَى اجْتِنَابِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. And the word taqwa could be used in a greater sense to refer to avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. It's not only meaning that, but it could be used in a context and to indicate this more, especially if it's used with other words, like whenever it comes with albir wa taqwa. Now, wa ta'awanu ala albir wa taqwa. Here, taqwa specifically means leaving the prohibitions, because bir here is referring to performing the commandments, performing the commandments. So a taqwa, it could be used in a sense or a context where it is referring to specifically or more to leaving off the prohibitions. He said this has been narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu whenever he was asked about taqwa. فَقَالَ هَلْ أَخَذْتَ طَرِيقًا ذَا شَوْكٍ. And this is a beautiful example likewise. He says, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is asked about taqwa. So he says, have you ever taken a path that has thorns on it? And yeah, if you're going down a path, for example, and on the path there's plants that have thorns on them. Have somebody been on a trail and there's thorns on the path? Huh? You done that? This is what he's saying. هَلْ أَخَذْتَ طَرِيقًا ذَا شَوْكٍ. قَالَ نَعْمٍ. He said, yes, I have been on a path, I've been walking on a trail, or in a street, or in an environment where there are plants that have thorns on them. They have thorns on them. So he says, فَكَيْفَ صَنَعْتَ. So what did you do? What did you do? Huh? If you're going down a path, for example, at Stone Mountain Park, they have those trails you can go around, right? Sometimes they have some thorns. If you see the one with the thorns, what do? Huh? And yeah, there's a few things you can do. You're going to jump into it or run past real fast, huh? Or just be heedless about it. That. What are you going to do? You're going to move cautiously. This is what he says. He says, well, so what did you do? He said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُ الشَّوْكَ عَدَلْتُ عَنْهُ أَوْ جَاوَزْتُهُ أَوْ قَصُرْتُ عَنْهُ. He said, if I seen the thorn, then I would go the other way. I'll go around it, or I'll go over it, or I would back up from it like this. So whenever he's going down the path, and he knows that on this path there's thorns, so he's looking out for the thorns first, right? And then when he sees them, he doesn't just run headfirst into them or go through them with his garments. Rather, he'll move. If there's thorns right there, he's going to go this way. If there's thorns below him, he's going to step over them, raise up his toe like this, so he doesn't get stuck in the thorns. This is what you do when you're walking on a path with thorns. So he says, قَالَ ذَكَ التَّقْوَى. This is taqwa. This is what it means, taqwa. The path, here's the straight path, the path going through life. In life, there are things that will snatch you away from the straight path. In life, there are things that they will snatch your eyesight away from the straight path. They will snatch your hearing away, snatch your heart away from tawheed, even. The heart can be attached to other than Allah. Even to the extent that the heart can do, a person, he can do actions of the hereafter for other than Allah. Showing off, hoping for praise, or some position in the dunya. Like all of these affairs, these are thorns. What do they do? Snatching him away from the straight path. So what does a person have to do? He has to have taqwa. He has to have light. What if you don't? If he's going on that path, and he has no light and it's dark outside, no moon, what happens now? He's done. He's left to it. Whatever happens, happens. If he hits it, he can't stop it. He doesn't know, maybe. That's like the person who's ignorant. The person who's ignorant, he's just going through life like this, and he's just leading himself to his own destruction. What if another person who is blind like him, they both come along together? Neither one of them know anything. They're taking each other. They say the blind leading the blind. It gets even worse. Huh? It gets even worse. What if somebody come along with a big torch? They follow me. Huh? What do you do? No, go ahead. Huh? You know, you're going to follow him. You're going to grab onto him. That's the people of knowledge. That's the people of knowledge that have knowledge and experience with knowledge. They're carrying the torch of knowledge and the light of the sunnah. You follow behind them. And they're on the path. Because they're the ones that are going to, whoa, stop, there's a thorn. Raise up your thobe, go over this one. Go right. No, this path right here, and the end of it is a big hole. No, go this way. This one is safer. This one's a little bit longer, but it's safer. Don't worry. Let's go. Bring your families. Like this is the case. And this is taqwa. This is the reality of a taqwa. You need to have light, to have knowledge, and to be cautious and to be careful, to know that there are things that could lead a person away. Know that there are things that could, what happens if the thorn, it catch your thobe? It tears it. What happened, that's the taqwa. The taqwa is the garment. It can get torn if a person, he gets into those thorns. Like this is the hereafter too. And there are also thorns or hooks on the straight path. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة. So this is the example that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about this. This has been narrated likewise from Umar, a similar situation like this, an example of going on a path that has thorns and the likes, and then being cautious not to be pricked or to be stuck, or for the garments to be caught up in the thorns. Because again, the example of those thorns, what happens sometimes, somebody gets caught in thorns. Somebody gets his sleeve caught in thorns. He tries to get out, and what happens? Sometimes he get more stuck. You move around, he get more stuck. He'll go like this, and then there's one over here, he got stuck on the other side. Or if he gets stuck on his foot, it catches his leg, and then it's in his socks, and then he move, and now it's all over his socks. Sometimes this is the case, and it's similar to like those webs. And this is the example, of sins, falling into sins. Sometimes he get a little bit, but if he's not careful, he'll be really involved until it's painful and difficult to get out. Until it's painful and difficult to get out. So to be safe from that, this is the best. As-salamatu la ya'diluha shay. To be safe from harm and danger in the deen and in the dunya, in this life and the hereafter, nothing equals that. So then a believer, he'll be cautious. He'll be cautious. So the author says, وَأَخَذَ هَذَا الْمَعْنَى إِبْنُ الْمُعْتَزِ فَقَالَ. And Ibn al-Mu'taz, he used this meaning, understanding, and he mentioned, خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهْوَ تُقَى وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. He said this same meaning, and he put it into a few lines of poetry, which are very beneficial. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهْوَ تُقَى. Leave off the sins. And he's talking about the issue that taqwa could be used mostly or sometimes in a context to refer specifically to leaving the sins and the prohibitions. خَلِذْ ذَنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ تُقَى. Leave off the sins, the minor sins and the major sins. This is piety. This is tuqa. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. And you should walk, while you're leaving off these sins, walk on the earth like somebody who's walking, and you walk around, and you go throughout your life, like somebody is walking in a land that has lots of thorns. Cautious where he's going. He's cautious where he's looking, where he's going. He's looking where he's going. If he's getting money, he's looking where he's going. Huh? If he's dealing with his family, he's looking where he's going. If he's dealing with his children, he's looking where he's going. He's not just putting those under his care anywhere, in the hands of anyone. He's looking where he's going. Huh? He's conscious about this affair. And he's just making examples. And then he said, لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَّى. And do not belittle a small sin. Do not belittle the small sins, because mountains, they're made of small pebbles or rocks. And mountains, how do they become a mountain? Or a big giant lake, how to become a lake? Or sometimes a flood, how to become a flood? Huh? Drops after drop after drop, pretty soon it's flowing. Torrential rain. Huh? And the likes like that. So likewise sins. Don't be like, it's just a small sin, it's a minor sin. No, because these things add up. These things add up. This is an issue he's going to discuss specifically, rahimahullah ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll read. He says, وَأَصْلُ التَّقْوَى وَأَصْلُ التَّقْوَى أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَبْدُ مَا يُتَّقَى ثُمَّ يَتَّقِي. Now he mentioned another point here. So the first point preceded, that sometimes taqwa could be used, referred specifically, leaving off the prohibitions. But likewise, he says, the fundamental issue of a taqwa, the foundation of a taqwa, where does it begin? This is going back to the statement of Talq, عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. He says, وَأَصْلُ التَّقْوَى أَنْ يَعْلَمُ الْعَبْدُ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَبْدُ مَا يَتَّقِي ثُمَّ يَتَّقِي. Or مَا يُتَّقَى ثُمَّ يَتَّقِي. That a person, he will know what to stay away from. He will know what to avoid. He will know what to fear, and then he will fear it. He will know what to leave off, and then he will leave it off. So therefore, he's mentioning here the issue of having knowledge. And the Salaf used to say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody fear something or avoid it if he does not even know how to avoid it? Look at the people. Many of the Muslims have been tried with major shirk, and their hearts are attached to people that are dead and gone in the grave because of ignorance. They don't know even the foundation of taqwa. The foundation of taqwa, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. They don't even know that meaning. They don't even know that meaning. And then many of the others from the ummah, they're involved in innovation, straight innovation, birthday parties and the likes like this. Because why? They don't know the meaning of the foundation of a taqwa, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. لَمَّا تَبُوعَ بِحَقٍ إِلَّا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. There's no true person to be followed absolutely. Absolutely in everything he says and does, except for the Messenger of Allah. Because of their ignorance with these foundations, they don't even know how to fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the basics of Iman. They're completely exposed. Naam, exposed. And likewise, the rights of the Shahada, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how would they have taqwa? How could they have fear? How could they give Allah His rights and they don't know what they are? They don't know what they are. They don't know how to perform them. They don't know how to perform them. So it's one thing to know the obligations, and it's another to know how to perform them. These are two different issues. It's another thing to know some prohibitions, but there's a way to avoid them. These are issues here. So it says again that the foundation of a taqwa, and يَعْلَمَ الْعَبْدُ مَا يُتَّقَى ثُمَّ يَتَّقِي. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.